Today's daf is Tmura, daf Lamed Dalet, the very last daf in Maseches Tmura. We are holding on daf Lamed Gimel Amud Beis. We're at the Mishnah on Lamed Gimel Amud Beis. This Mishnah doesn't really necessarily belong in Maseches Tmura. It doesn't not belong in Maseches Tmura. It's a general list of a Shas list of different items that require Sreifa and items that require Kvura. Those things that need to be burnt and those things that need to be buried. Some of the items on the list are items that we've discussed throughout Maseches Tmura. Other items on the list are things that have nothing to do with Temurah. So let's see. Ve'elu heinan akbar, and the following things require kvura, you need to bury them. They are asur bahana'a. Kachim she'epila yikbru. If a korban has a miscarriage, so the nefel has to be buried. Hepila shilya tikaver. Even if just placenta comes out, you have to bury that as well. Rashi points out, because she'in shilya below vlad, that every time there's shilya, we assume that there's a vlad mixed in there, and therefore it requires burial. Rashi writes, v'kal hanach nekbar mishum di'isurei hananin. All of these things that are buried, that we're listing in our Mishnah, have to be buried because they are isurei hanah, like we mentioned. Vishara niskal, an animal, an ox that killed somebody and is therefore getting stoned. So after it gets stoned, it's sasaba, no, you have to bury it. The egla arufa, when you find the mace between two cities and you do the procedure of egla arufa, of chopping the back of its neck, so that also is asur bana and requires burial. Vitzipari mitzora, the birds that a mitzora brings, well, one of them I think is sent away, right? So the other one is requires burial. Viseir nazir, and the hair of a nazir, that's a little bit of a surprising one, because we know that the halacha is the hair of a nazir, when he cuts it off, goes in the dud, goes tachas hadud, it goes in the fire, it's supposed to normally be burnt, and yet right now we're listing it amongst those things that are supposed to be buried. Upeter chamor, the peter chamor also requires burial. Ubasur b'chalav, and basar b'chalav we know is asur b'hanah. The Torah says three times l'svash adadi b'chalev imo. We learn echris rachila, echris rana, and obviously in isra bishul. So from the isra hana, because it's asur b'hanah, basar b'chalav also requires burial. V'chulin shenishchdu b'azara, and if you have chulin shenishchdu b'azara, that also requires burial. Why does chulin shenishchdu b'azara require burial? Says Rashi, mishum demichlefi b'hu kachim. It may be confused with with kachim that a psul happens with. Meaning you see something that's shechted in the azara that is unable to be used as a karban, so you're going to think, oh, this must be psul emukdashin. The amar yikperu, if you're going to say bury it, kivin dolo mukha milsa ichulin avu kachim, since you don't know whether it's chulin. Actually, let's read the next line. Then he's actually explaining the next line. Rabbi Shimon Amar Chulin Shlishu Ba'azara Yisrafu. Rabbi Shimon says, no, Chulin Shlishu Ba'azara can't be buried. It needs to be burnt. V'chein Chayish Nishcha Ba'azara. And so too, Chayish Nishcha Ba'azara needs to be burnt. So now that's what Rashi's explaining. Why would you hold it needs to be burnt? It should be on the list of Nikbarin. So he says, no, really, Meikra Adin Midar Raisa, it should be buried. But because we're afraid you're going to confuse it with Psulei Mekdashin, that's why they required burning it. Because since people aren't going to realize ichulin havu kachim asul meimer nami kachim shir ben psul tuma upsul nosar yikperu, people are going to think when there's some sort of psul nosar or psul tuma by kachim that you're supposed to bury that as well, and yet we know that's definitely not the case. V'kaimlan b'psach and perik beiz b'kodesh be'ishti sareif limid al kol psul shem b'kodesh shehin b'sreifa, that whenever you have a psul in kodesh, whenever you have a psul in kachim, so the halacha is that it has to be burnt. So lest one confuse that with Chulin Shlishu Ba'azara, that's where Rabbi Shimon holds it has to be burnt. But this is a machlokas in our Mishnah, what the din is by Chulin Shlishu Ba'azara. And the same is true about a Chaya. Rashi points out, afilu im chulin hi deleka lemigzar mishum delolik bar kachim psulin dekuli al miyadi dechay b'mukdashim leka v'losi lechlufei afilu achit tesarif. And a Chaya Shlishu Ba'azara, even though no one is ever going to confuse that for psulin mukdashim, because everyone realizes that there is no such thing as a karban that is a chaya. All karbanos are behemos, they are not chayos. Nevertheless, it's also included, according to Rabbi Shimon, it's also included in the din sreifa. It's also not amongst the nikbarim. So that is the exhaustive list that our Mishnah gives of those items that require kavura. Tosos Maseches Avodah Zarah and Daf Samach Beis Amud Beis writes two important points. First of all, he says that everything that you need to bury, all items on this list that require kavura, need to be buried ma'at ba'omek. They need to be buried a little bit deep so that people don't come to find them by digging a little bit. So that's chiddush number one, and that makes a lot of sense. The whole point of burying them is that they be inaccessible, so they need to be buried in a way that they're somewhat inaccessible. Chiddush number two, that only something that's not normal to keep in the ground for storage, do you have a mitzvah of kvura? Because if a person is going to find something in the ground, then he'll realize that it's asur bahana'ah. But if you have something that is normally kept in the ground for storage anyway, then kvura is not going to be helpful at all, because whoever finds it is going to assume that it's totally mutter, and that it was just being kept here for storage. So that would not, in such cases, you would need to burn them and then bury the ashes. But to just bury them in those kinds of situations would not be sufficient. Rabbi Yonis and Eibshitz and Kresi Uplesi and Simon Pei Zayin Hilchos Basar B'Chalav points out, wait a second, when was the last time you saw someone bury Basar B'Chalav? When someone has basar b'chalav, if for whatever reason he ends up with basar b'chalav, people actually do this. Do they bury basar b'chalav? So Rabbi Yonasan Epshit says, when the Mishnah says it has to be buried, it just means that it's also about none, it has to be made inaccessible. You have to get rid of it. So those things that are on the list of nikbarim are lav dafka nikbarim. They don't necessarily require kvura per se. You could throw them into the river. You could be ma'abi them in any other way that you want. It's just that we're going to see later on in the Mishnah, maybe you're not allowed to burn them, but you could do anything else. Burning them might be a problem. So that's fine. Says the Gemara. We'll leave it at that. So says the Gemara Vayter. Ve'elu hein hanisrafim, and these are the following things that require sreifa that you need to burn. Chametz bePesach yisareif. That if you have chametz on Pesach, that has to be burnt. Truma tameh, when truma becomes tameh, when truma is tahar, you're not allowed to burn it. You're not allowed to be ma'abi truma. Once truma becomes tameh, you're allowed to burn it. V'ha arla, and arla is supposed to be burnt. This caused an interesting discussion in the Achronim, the Chassam Sofer in a tshuva in Or Chaim Siman Kuf Pei. Chassam Sofer writes that Tosos is mashma over here, that there's a chiyuv to be soreif arla, not just Tosos, that it's mashma that way from the Mishnah as well, because Batosa says that the Afer of Arlo is mutter, since there's no such thing as a Dover Shinasas Mitzvaso Umo Olimbo, that there's no such thing as something that you did your obligation, you did the mitzvah that you're supposed to do, and it would still be subject to Mi'ila. So since it was Nasas Mitzvaso of Srefa, so now the Arlo becomes mutter Ba'ana. So apparently, there is a mitzvah to burn Arlo. It's not just Stam getting rid of it, it's a mitzvah to burn Arlo. But Chassam Sofer says, it seems that there's no Chiyuv or mitzvah to burn Arla. Rather, if you burn Arla, you are Mekayim a mitzvah. But it's not that one is required to burn Arla. That's how the Chassam Sofer wants to suggest. Why? Because the Rambam in Hilchos Arla doesn't quote a requirement to burn Arla, and neither is it quoted in Shulchan Aruch. And the Chassam Sofer says, perhaps most important, Lo yinagu kein rabosai. My Rebbeim were never knowing this way, even though my Rebbeim were makbid about everything. So even though it could be that it was Arlos Chutzlaritz that his Rebbeim were dealing with, and therefore they were a little more makel, he says, it seems to me that there's no mitzvah v'chiyuv, it's just that it's a kiyum mitzvah if you burn Arlo, and that's all the Mishnah means, that it's nisrafim, but not that it's a requirement to burn Arlo. Beis Meir writes that burning Arla is not a mitzvah in a Torah nor a mitzvah midrabanan. It's a chiyuv midrabanan. Wouldn't count as a mitzvah of anything. The Minchas Chinuch quotes from the Ritva Maseches Sukkah that Arla is not chayiv in Sreifa, but it's omid l'Sreifa. Minchas Chinuch wonders that there's definitely a mitzvah of Sreifa Arla because it says it says it all over Shas. Rather, the suffix is whether the chiyuv Sreifa is mina Torah midrabanan. And he writes that from our Tosos where it says that if you burn Arla, the Afer is then going to be mutter. Sounds like it's a real mitzvah d'oraisa to burn the Arla, and that's even matir, the Afer, once you burn it. So it's obviously a significant mitzvah. Okay, that's Arla. The Kilei Akerim, by through the Mishnah, Kilei Akerim also requires Sreifa. Es shedarkan nisrof yisrof, ves shedarkan yikaver yikaver. When it comes to Arla, the halacha is, and Kilei Akerim, this is only going on the last two items on the list. When it comes to Arla and Kilei Akerim, those items that is normal to burn, you should burn, and those items that are normal to bury, you should bury. So that obviously, that line requires elaboration, and the Gemara is going to explain what does it mean, that which is normal to burn, and that which is normal to bury. Next, umadlikin bepasu b'shemen shel truma. You're allowed to light a fire using bread or oil of truma. Kol hakatchim shenishkatu chutz l'zmanan. All kachim, meaning madlikin, means you're allowed to light a fire and enjoy the fire. So even though you're burning truma, you can get hanah from it as you are burning it. Kol hakatchim shenishkatu chutz l'zmanan chutz l'mukaman hare elu yisrafu. All kachim that are shechted with a machsheves chutz l'zmano or a machsheves chutz l'mekomo, meaning pigle and pusle, become require you're supposed to burn them because those are psulin b'kodesh, and the halacha is all psulin in the kodesh, all psulin that happen in the azara, you have to burn. So those require sreifa as well. Asham talui yisarif. You have an asham talui. Let's say you shecht an asham talui, and asham talui is when you weren't sure if you were chayiv. But let's say you shecht an asham talui, and before this week's daim, you realize that you didn't sin. So now it turns out that this carbon is a waste, meaning the asham talui is brought when you aren't sure if you sinned or not. So you shechted it, and before the zrika, you realize that you didn't do the avera. Mele, it's like chulin shenishkel ba'azara because you didn't sin. So it turns out that this is really an unnecessary carbon. So if you have not yet realized whether you sinned or not, so then it's a regular carbon. The Torah calls it an asham. Rashi says, "I'm avul lo nodolo yochal kishar ashamus yidu like any other asham." The asham kari rachman in parshas vayikra, because the Torah calls it an asham in Parshas Vayikra. That's a good Daf Yomi coincidence. Right there in Parshas Vayikra, the Torah calls it an Asham L'chaper al-Safik l'hagir min Yisurim. It's Mechaper for the Safik Avera. It protects you from Yisurim. Ad she'yivadalom vadei chata, until you have it clarified whether you definitely sinned or not. And then when you have it clarified, if you did sin, then you'll bring a Karban Chatos. But in the meantime, the Asham Tali covers you. But what if you find out not that you did sin, but that you didn't sin, and then you have not yet been Zorik Radam? So then it's like Chulin Bazara. So that's why you Zorik. That's why it's supposed to be burnt. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, you cover. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you should bury it. Chatas of Abal Safek, let's say a woman is mapil, a woman miscarries something, but we're not sure if it has a din of a vlad or it doesn't have a din of a vlad. So since a chatas yoledes comes from an oaf, the pasuk says ben yona otor lechatas, so she brings it al safek. So the chatas of Abal Safek can't eat it, obviously, because it's a bird, and birds do malika on. So if she wasn't chayiv in the karban, then it turns out that this is just stam nevela. So you're not allowed to eat it. So the chatasof habal sof, you're supposed to bring it, but tisarif, you have to burn it. There's nothing else you could do because, again, like we said, you can't eat it because it's malika. So if she wasn't chayiv, it turns out that it was nevela. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Yatilen la Amar. Rabbi Yehuda says no, she should put it in the ama. They take the bird and they let it go down the drainage system in the Beis HaMikdash, and that way Rashi points out, since the ore of this bird is very soft, it will disintegrate in the Amma and will go right through with the flow of the rest of the water. It's not going to clog up the drainage system in any way. It will just go right through the drain in the Beis HaMikdash. Period. Now, last part of the Mishnah discusses when we say that things have to be buried, how makbar are we that they dafka be buried as opposed to burned, or burned as opposed to buried? So, kalanik barin lo yisrafu. Anytime something's supposed to be buried, you should not burn it. V'kalan nisrafin lo yikbru. And if something is supposed to be burnt, you should not bury it. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, imratzalach merlatzvel, this rafasin barin rashai. Rabbi Yehuda says that if you want to be machmir, burning is more chamor than burying. So if you want to be machmir to burn that which is supposed to be buried, so gesundheit, that should be fine. So amalav eino mutal shanos. The Chum said to Rabbi Yehuda, no, you're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to be mashana to do something different. You're not allowed to burn them. So Rashi writes that it's also to burn the nisrafim, lest you find, meaning the reason that the Tanakhama held that it's also to burn the nisrafim is someone else might find them and think that it's heter and he's going to get hana from it. So Rabbi Kivegar and the Minchas Klinuch ask, why does Rashi need to give such a reason? The reason that it's also to I'm sorry, that's why it's aser to bury that which is burnt, right? That which is supposed to be burnt. The reason you're not allowed to bury it is because if someone digs it up and finds it, so they're going to think that it's mutter and he's going to come to get hanah from it. So ask Rabbi Kivega in the Minchas Chinuch, why does Rashi have to say that reason? The reason it's aser to bury it is because there's a chiyuv to burn it. The Torah says you have to burn these things. So if you bury it, you just simply didn't do the mitzvah of Sreifa. What do you have to say? Because someone's going to get enough. Let's say no one's going to get enough from it. Still, you had a mitzvah to do, and you didn't do your mitzvah. There's a mitzvah of Sreifa, and you chose not to do it. So that's bad enough. So the Rashash is Matari, so Rashi needs to say this reason, that someone's going to come to find it, for Kilei Kerem and Arla. Because like we discussed before, a Kilei Kerem and Arla, it's not so possible that there's a chiyuv to burn it. It may be a kiyum to burn it, but the main point by Kilei Kerem and Arla is to just get rid of it. But it's not so possible that there's a chiyuv mitzvah to burn it. And Prima Gadim Ben Yitzion also suggests the same way. And they also point out that Rashi maybe needs to say this for Truma Tumeya, because the Rashi Maseches Shabbos writes that the whole chiyuv Sreifa and Truma Tumeya is only so that lo yavo lidei takala, that it not come to eat it. So that's why you have to burn it. So maybe this Rashi l'shitaso. So for Truma Tumeya, that's the reason why you can't bury it, because you may find it and you'll come to eat it. Minchas Chinuch asks another much more fundamental kasha. Minchas Chinuch says, I don't understand Rashi's reason. Rashi's saying that the reason you're not allowed to bury those things that require burning is because when you bury something, they might be found, and when they are found, someone's going to get enough from it. Ask Minchas Chinuch, and what about everything that we say in our mission is supposed to be buried? Might those also be found? And might one come to get hana from those as well? Elamai, when there are things that are in the Gemara, we're not so worried about it. We don't worry that a person is going to get hana from it. We assume they'll stay buried until they disintegrate. Why is Rashi so concerned over here? Unless you say that those items that are on the Nisrafim list are so chamer that we have an extra requirement to be machmir and to be concerned that maybe one will get hana from those things. But that's the kasha that the Minchas Chinuch raises on Rashi. Minchas Chinuch mitzvah kuf mem vav. Now, Rabbi Yehuda says, you want to be machmir in yourself and to burn those things that are nikbarin, that's okay. So an important ha'ara, the Baruch Tam says, Rabbi Yehuda l'chora is talking about all of the isurim that are mentioned in our Mishnah, and if you look at the list in our Mishnah, Basa B'chalav is amongst the list of the nikbarim in our Mishnah. So now it's quite a chiddush, because Rabbi Yehuda is saying, you want to be machmir, and instead of burying Basa B'chalav, you can burn Basa B'chalav. You know what another word for using fire on Basa B'chalav is? It's not only called burning Basa B'chalav, one might call it cooking Basa B'chalav, and that's an Issa D'Oraisa, to be Mevashal Basa B'chalav. So how could Rabbi Yehuda say this? That you're allowed to burn Basa B'chalav? That's not just burning, that is cooking. That's an Issa D'Oraisa. So says the Baruch Tam, what you have to say from here is that it's Muchach from this Mishnah, from the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, that once Basa B'chalav is already cooked together, and that's the only way it ever becomes Basa B'chalav, once it's already cooked together, there's no Isser of further being Mevashel Basa B'chalav. And the reason is because it's an espashal kvar, an ein bishal achar bishal, or you have to say that sreifa is not derech bishal, that to burn it directly, you wouldn't, it's an entirely different a way of doing things when you're burning something and when you are trying to cook something. So sreifa would not be derech bishal. Personally, I would prefer the second answer to the first answer, to say that once basa b'chalav is cooked, is not going to be an isra at all. Bishal is really not so pashut at all. Right? The Ramah talks about if you have a pot of a guy, that you shouldn't even stoke a fire underneath it, because there might be basar b'chalav in the walls of the kedera. So that's obviously already cooked, and yet we're still worried about you cooking it further. So pashut, I think you would say the other way, that sreifa is different than bishul. Okay, let's see. Let's see the Gemara now. Says Gemara, Sayer Hanazir Yikaver. So this is, we noted in the Mishnah, that the Mishnah said, you should bury the hair of a Nazir. So Rami Le Tavi L'Rav Nachman, I'm not sure, when I was learning with Rabbi Razmer, he pointed out Tevi, I don't know how often we have, Tevi is the Avdo Shalom Gamliel. I don't know how often he's asking kashas in Shas, I can't think of too many times. Is this the same Tevi? I don't know. But Tevi asked the Stira to Rav Nachman as follows, Tana, and it says in our Mishnah, Sayer Hanazir Yikaver, that the hair of a Nazir nazir should be buried, and yet uruminhu ha'orig milo asit mitzemer b'char bebeged. If someone weaves a two fingers length apart from each other, that amount of space of tzemer b'char, of the wool of a b'char, into a beged, so the whole beged has to be burnt. The beged should be lit on fire. Miseir ha'nazir petach hamar b'sak, if he takes from the hair of a nazir or a petach hamar and he weaves that into a sack, into some sort of bag or sackcloth, so yidalek hasak, the whole beged also needs to be burnt. So isn't that a stira? In our Mishnah it says that if you have seir nazir, yes, sasbana, but you should bury it. And over here you see beferish that when you weave it into a garment, the garment has to be burnt, not buried. So answers Gemara, Amalei kan benazir tameh, kan benazir tahar. Big difference. What the context of the haircut that the nazir got was. If he was a nazir tameh, so then you don't need to bury it. But if he was a nazir tahar, it was the end of his nazirus process, and he was tahar, and he was cutting off his hair, so then it requires sreifa. Because that's what it says in the Torah, Nasan ala Eish, that you put it mitachas ludud. So that's the requirement of a Nazir Torah. But by a Seir of Nazir Tameh, it never says anywhere in the Torah that it requires Shreifa, and therefore Seir of Nazir Tameh would be buried. So our Mishnah must be talking about the Seir of a Nazir Tameh. So Amalei Shanisa, Nazir and Nazir. So he says, great, you answered the stira between Nazir and Nazir, but also in the list of our Mishnah of things that are Nikbarin was Peter Chamar, and yet we just saw that if you're Oreg Mula Sit Mitzvah, that if you use Petach Hamar, the hair of Petach Hamar, it has to be burnt. So Petach Hamar, Kasha. So we're still left with the Kasha, Astira, and Petach Hamar. So Ishtik v'amalei v'lamidi. So he didn't have an answer. So Amalei, he said, Midi Shmielachba, did you hear anything about this? Do you have some sort of answer to maybe be Miyashiv the Astira and Petach Hamar? Is it something that needs to be buried? Is it something that needs to be burnt? So Amalei, Hachiyam Rav Sheshes, Kan Besak, Kan Beseyar. That the Rav Sheshes answered that when it says it has to be burnt, that's when you weave the Seir Nazir or the Petach Hamar into a sack. That if you're going to come to bury it, people are going to get Hana from it, since it's not going to disintegrate so quickly. But when you have the hair intact, so then you could bury it, because that will disintegrate much more quickly. People are not likely to find it. So that's why it says when you weave it into a beged or into a sack, so that's a kli. You bury a kli, you come back a few months later, the kli, you'll still find the kli, so it still might be usable, a person still might come to use it, so that's why burial is not going to be good enough, you're going to have to burn it. But if you have the actual hair, well then you could certainly just bury the hair, because that's going to be gone in short order if you bury hair into the ground. That's what Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina said as well. That's the difference, whether it's sak or seir. Rabbi Lazar Amar kan benazir tahar, kan benazir tameh. Rabbi Lazar says, no, difference is nazir tahar, nazir tameh, that's how we're matarit the stira in nazir. Meaning that, again, that doesn't help to be matarit the stira by Petach Hamar, but at least it helps to be matarit the stira by nazir. So Amar Lehi says, wait a second, you said that you want to be mechalek between nazir tameh and Nazir Tahir and Nazir Tahar. But generally speaking, when you weave the hair into the sack, everyone agrees that no matter which way you're metaritz the stira, everyone agrees, it says beferish in the Mishnah, when you weave the hair into the sack, that the sack is problematic, you're going to have to burn it. So Amalei, liftel sack beruba. He says, I don't understand, shouldn't the sack be mevatel, the usr component of it, berov? I mean, it should be batel berov, and therefore the whole sack should be mutter. Why do you have to take the whole beged, the whole cloth, and burn it? There's a little bit of Seir Nazir in there. So that little bit should be batel berov, says Rashi. Liftel beruba, the hakatani Seir Nazir, petach amar besak, b'mashma ma'at mimenu, b'beged gadol, shel heter. The implication is, it didn't say explicitly, but the implication is that you took a little bit of Seir Nazir, a little bit of the petach amar, and you wove it into the sack. Not that it was, the majority of the sack was made up of the iser. If that were the case, then the Gemara wouldn't have a kasha. The Gemara is asking because the lashon implied that it was just a little bit in a much larger beged. So says Rashi, v'kasha, hadamim Sechs, neither Beged Shavad Bal Klayim HaRei Zalayim Karenu Lovid Chavim. Let's say you have a Beged where you lost Klayim in the Beged, somewhere in that Beged is Klayim, so you should not sell it to an Ovid Chavim. V'amai Asur L'mochro, why is it Asur to sell to an Ovid Chavim? V'liftal Ahu Chut Beruba, Ki Echid Amrin Hacha. Why don't we say, right, the reason it's Asur to sell to an Ovid Chavim is the guy will turn around and sell it to a Jew. The guy will turn around and give it to a Jew with the assumption, and he'll say, I bought it from another Jew, so with the assumption that it's shot and it's free. So, frek the Gemara, why is it any concern at all? Just assume that you were avad bo klayim, obviously the klayim was not the rov, so why don't you assume that it's batel barov? Same kasha Gemara is asking over here. So says Rashi, halav pirchihi, de be klayim lo amar livtel baruba, de ikaris or klayim lo asra Torah, el ali de tar roves, u klayim in targaminin erivin vlo shayach bu bitl. The reason the Gemara doesn't ask that question over there, like it does over here, is because over there it's pashut that there's no bitl barov by klayim. Why is it pashut? The very nature of klayim is a combination of two different things, of tsemer opishtim. So since by its very nature it's a combination of multiple ingredients, so you're not going to say that if one is a rove, it's mevatel the other. Because then the only way you'd ever have real klayim is if it was exactly 50-50, otherwise the tsemer would be mevatel the pishtim would be mevatel the tsemer. So obviously the very nature of klayim is that there's no bitl barov. But over here we're talking about something that's not an isser based on the tar roves. It's not an isser based on the fact that two things are mixing together. It's just stam and isser. So that's why over here we have what to discuss, that why isn't it batel barov? So that's the Gemara, Amrav Papa, Bitzi Porta. Now the case is that you made an image of a bird using the hair. You made a very beautiful image in the beged using this hair. So it's not going to be batel, even though it's only a minority of the beged, but it's a very chashva part of the beged, and it's very evident that it's a chashva part of the beged, so then it's not going to be batel barov. We always have such a thing that a davar chashuv is not going to be batel, even if it's only the minority. So says Gemara, well, wait a second, see, parta, lishlufinu, if it's an image of a bird, you have a simpler solution. Just cut it out. Why do you have to throw out the whole beged and burn the whole beged or bury the whole beged, whatever you're doing with it? Why do you have to do that? Just cut out the problematic part. If you use the Seir Nazir to make a design on one part of the beged, so take off the design. Why do you have to burn the whole beged? Some Rabbi Yirmiyah, Hamani, Rabbi Yehudi, Damar and Ratzal, Achmir, Latzim, Lissrufus, and Gwarim, Rashai. We're assuming like Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that you could be extra machmir and burn those things that are supposed to be buried. So says Gemara, Amalei, that doesn't make any sense. You're answering some question, but not the question I asked you. Kakashalan Lishulfinu, Vat Mukmulak Rabbi Yehuda? What do you mean? I asked you, why would you burn, well, you can burn your whole house down if it's in your house. So, no, you would take it out of your house and burn it. Why would you burn everything else down? So, if it's in the beged, why would you burn the whole beged down? Take out that design. So, what does that have to do with Rabbi Yehuda being extra machmir to be sorry? Rabbi Yehuda's talking about something that, anyway, is asr banah, and that you have to get rid of. So, instead of burying it, you could burn it. That has absolutely nothing to do with this. Sense the Gemara, hachi kamina, im efshul lishlufinu mutav. No, what I mean to say is as follows. If you could take it out, that's great. That's wonderful you want to take it out. But, and also, if you want to know how to deal with the stira between the Mishnah and the Braisa, between the idea that it's supposed to be buried and it's supposed to be burnt, there's a simpler way to deal with all the stiras that we had about Seir Nazir and Petar Chamar. We dealt with it by saying that maybe the Seir Nazir will kam benazir tamei kam benazir tar. And by the Petar Chamar and the second answer that worked for Seir Nazir and for Petar Chamar was kan besak, kan beseir, whether it was woven into a beged or not. He says, now I got a better answer that could solve all the problems. When it says that you're supposed to burn it, it's going like Rabbi Yehuda. Not that you're supposed to burn it, but that even though it's nikbarin, you're allowed to burn it. So that's stam, a third answer as to how to deal with the stira between the Mishnah and the Braisa that we quote, of whether it has to be burnt or whether it has to be, I don't know if it's a Braisa, maybe another Mishnah that we're quoting. Yeah, it's a Mishnah and Arla. The Mishnah here and the Mishnah and Arla, whether you need to burn or to bury the Seir Nazir and the Petach Hamar that's in a beged. So a simple solution. Really, you only have to bury it. The one that says you have to burn it is assuming, like Rabbi Yehuda, that you're allowed to burn things stam as a chumrah. So good. But that has nothing to do, Ein Achinami, with the question that we asked about removing the iser from the item. Of course you should remove the iser from the item, and that would be the smarter thing to do. And then the Mishnah went on to list items that require burning. So to be Yotzei, Arshol, and Vidarshin for the day. Amar Mar Chametz bePesach Yisareif. It says Chametz bePesach is supposed to be burnt, so that's on the list in our Mishnah. Sasal Montana, Rabbi Yehuda, Damar Ein Bir Chametz, El Shreifa. So that obviously our Tana is assuming like Rabbi Yehuda that ain't bir chametz al shreifa, that the only way to do bir chametz is by burning it, that being zara l'ruach and throwing it into the ocean, things like that, he holds are not a sufficient way to get rid of chametz. Truma tmeah va'orla, we then said that truma tmeah and orla, that which is dark and lisrof, you should be sorry. If that which is dark and lechel, you should be ochel. So we said that by and kilei kerem, right? So says the Gemara, haketzad, what does that mean, dark and lisrof, dark and likbar? So haketzad, ochlin bisrefa, mashkin bikvura. Foods that are orla or kilei kerem, you're supposed to burn. Drinks that are orla or kilei kerem, much more difficult to burn, you should bury those. Fine. Chatas ha'of, then we listed chatas ha'of, that's Baal HaSafek, right? We said the Chatas of Baal HaSafek also should be burnt. So Tanya, Amr Rav Yehuda, Chatas of Baal HaSafek Yatilen La'ama. And like our Mishnah said, the Braisa also records that Rabbi Yehuda holds the Chatas of Baal HaSafek. Instead of burning it, you should throw it into the Amma. Uminatcha Ever Ever, except he adds a little more detail. You should cut it up into various Evarim, limb by limb, Vizark on the Amma, and throw it into the Amma, into the drainage system. Miskalgalas Valachas the Nachal Kidron, and it will ultimately drain out into Nachal Kidron. That way you will have gotten rid of it. So then the final part of our Mishnah discussed, what if you have an item that you're supposed to bury, may you burn it? So the Tanakhama said, all Nikbarin may not be burnt, all Nisrafin may not be buried. But Rabbi Yehuda said, you want to be machmir yourself and to burn that which is supposed to be buried, gezuntahet. You're allowed to do that. So and the Tanakhama disagrees. So says the Gemara, my time, we said, call Nikbarin lo Yisrafu, my time, why would you say that which is supposed to be buried cannot be burnt? What's the reason for the Tanakhama? Mishum din Nikbarin afar nasr, v'nisrafin afar and mutter. Difference is, because that which is buried, the afer from it is going to be usr, that which is supposed to be burnt, the afer from it is going to be mutter. Tosus writes in the name of Mori Haramar that the reason for this is that when the Torah is mitzavi you to burn something, so the Sreifa is mat to the Yisra Na, and the Efer becomes mutter, just like we find by Mi'ila, that any time it's Davar Shanasas Mitzvah, so Ein Molin Behem, there's no longer an Yisra of Mi'ila, so over here as well. Anytime the Mitzvah is Bisreifa, so it's considered Nasas Mitzvah, so once you burn it, and Mi'ila becomes mutter Ba'ana. But the Nekabarim, the Mitzvah is not in any particular way of destroying them, and therefore, you don't have this svara of nasas mitzvaso. If you even after you ma'abid them, so it's still going to be asr ba'ana. Aye, what about asherah? It's asr li'olam, even though there's a mitzvah b'sreifa. So says that's because the Torah says dafka by avod zara liyidbak biyad chumu uma min acherim. So we have an extra chumra that even after you burn it still remains asr ba'ana. So that is Tosos. Minchas chinuch mitzvah kuf mem vav. Os yud ches is not sure what the halacha is if you did not burn the Nisrafim, rather you buried them, but ultimately disintegrated and turned to Efer anyway. So meaning, is it a din that anytime you have a mitzvah sreifa, so when it turns to Efer, it's mutter? Or is only a din that nas mitzvasa, that if you did the mitzvah sreifa, then the Efer is going to be mutter? What if you bury it and it turns into Efer? Would we say that it's mutter? Minchas Chinuch is not sure. So the Makor Chaim writes that he thinks it's vaday going to be yasu, because it wasn't nas mitzvasa. Tos explains the whole din is a din in nas mitzvasa. But the Maram Shik and the Tshuva and Archaim Sim Reish Ches disagrees. He holds that the Efer is going to be mutter even if you didn't actually bury it. Because once the Torah says that you're supposed to be mevarit b'sreifa, and there's no such thing as a davar shenasas mitzvaso, that's aser, so it's muchach that initially the Torah never included Efer in the Isra Hana on this Cheftza. Because the Torah says you're supposed to burn it, and therefore when you do burn it, the Efer is going to be mutter. So it's clear that there never was an Isra Hana on the Efer of this Cheftza. So Mela, it's not going to make a difference how it got to a state of being Efer in the first place. Okay, there are several kashas that the Achronim deal with on this Tosos. First of all, Tosos says that we say that this is just like Kodshim, where there's Nisra Mi'ila, that once it's Nasas Mitzvaso, it's no longer Asa Mi'ila. Asks Rav Elchanan in Kovit Shur, Mechelik Beis, Simon Chaf Aleph, on Tosos, how can you compare all the other Nisrafim to Kachim, where the Isra Mi'ila goes away when it's Nasas Mitzvaso? By Kachim makes more sense, because by Kachim the whole reason it had an Isra Mi'ila is because there's a mitzvah you're supposed to do with this. Even Kachim Shemesu, the Isra Mi'ila goes away, because as long as there's no mitzvah, it's not Omeid L'mitzvasam, there's not going to be an Isra Mi'ila. So that's why it makes sense that when it's Nasas Mitzvaso, it's going to be Mutar Ba'ana, the Isra Mi'ila is going to go away. Because by Kachim, the whole source of the Isra Ba'ana was the fact that it was an omein the mitzvah. But by Yisurei Anah are asr because they're asr. They're not asr because they're omein the mitzvah. They're asr because that's part of their character. That's part of what they are. So why should Nasa mitzvah so matter by Yisurei Anah? It makes a lot of sense by Me'ilah, where the whole isr is novea. The whole isr comes from the fact that it's asr. So the fact that it's omein the mitzvah. So the whole isr comes from the fact that it's omein the mitzvah. Good. So once you did the mitzvah, it's no longer omein the mitzvah. Mele, it's not going to be asr. That makes a lot of sense. But by Yisurei Anah, the isr is asr not because it's omein the mitzvah. It's not asr because it's omein the sarif. It's asr because it's asr. Basar b'chalav is asr because it's basar b'chalav. Chametz Pesach is asr because it's chametz b'Pesach. So there's a shtar kasher of Chanan asks. So he says that you have to say Tosav here is l'shitasav because Tosav holds a Maseches Vachim. Tosus and Maseches Vachim, the Samach Tesim Beis, holds that Kachim Shemesu, even though there's no Mi'ila, but it's still Asr Bahana. So you see, what Tosus holds is that the Isra Hana by Kachim is not because it's Omid Mitzvah. So the Isra Hana of Kachim is because it's Kachim. The Mi'ila is a different thing. Whether you violate Mi'ila, whether you bring Korban Mi'ila, fine. That's because it's Omid Mitzvah. So. But the actual Isra Hana, that's there, even if it's not Omid Mitzvah. So. And yet we still say that once you burn Kachim, it's still not going to be an Isra Hana. So you see that any time it's not mitzvah, so we're going to assume that the Isra'na goes away. That's Tosos l'shitasam. Another point, Minchas Chinuch wonders that according to Tosos that the heter of the Nisrafim is because it's Nasas mitzvaso. So then Egla Rufa, which is amongst the Nigbarim, the Efer of the Egla Rufa should be mutter once you bury it, because the Kvura of the Egla Rufa is a mitzvah. Meaning most of the items that we mentioned on the list of things that have to be buried, as we pointed out in the name of Rabbi Yonah Snipes, you don't actually have to bury them. You just have to get rid of them. You're not allowed to get any anah from them. But one of the items on the list of the things that have to be buried, there's actually a mitzvah to bury it, and that's Egla Rufa, Shamtek Vurasa. You have to bury it right there. You have to bury the Egla Rufa. So if it's a mitzvah to bury it, maybe we should say the same thing by Egla Rufa, that once it's buried, so it's Nasas Mitzvaso, and therefore it's good. Therefore it's going to be Mutar Bana once it's Nasas Mitzvaso. So that's the Kasha of the Minchas Chinuch. So Minchas Chinuch is Mitarets in a different place, actually, in Mitzvah Kuf Mem Vav, Os Yud Aleph. Minchas Chinuch is Mitarets that really there's no mitzvah of Kvura Begla Rufa Midarai. So when the Gemara in Zvachim says that Shamtei Kvurasa, it means that once Chazal are Masakin, that it's Shavu Din of Kvura, so then you can understand that Pasuk in that way. But certainly it's not a mitzvah Minatorah. There is no requirement Minatorah to bury the Egla Rufa. A whole list of other questions that the Achronim ask about this idea of Nasas Mitzvaso that Tosos has. One point that relates to Pesach, we might as well discuss. Rabbi Kiva Eger asks in his Hagos on Shulchan Aruch in Hilchos Pesach in Sim Tav Mem Hei, that which the Torah writes that Efer Shel Chametz BePesach is Tali in the Machlokas Rabbi Yudon Rabbanon. The Torah says that what if you burnt Chametz BePesach and now you have the ashes? So what's the status of those ashes? So Rabbi Yudon holds that the mitzvah is to burn Chametz only, so it holds that it's like any other Nisrafim, the Efer is going to be mutter. The Chachamim who say that it's not a Chiv of Sreifa Dafka, you could have been Mefar Vizor LaRua, you could have flushed it down the toilet, you could have gotten rid of it in any number of other ways, so then it would have a din of nikbarin and the Efer would be Aser. As Rabbi Kiva Eger, based on Tosos, that the whole reason that Efer and Asrafim is mutter is because Nasas Mitzvaso, and there's no such thing as Nasas Mitzvaso, that there's an Isra Me'ila, that there's an Isra to get Hanah from it. So then even according to the Chachamim don't just say Stam, get rid of it. The Chachamim are saying that the Efer that you have to destroy it. There's definitely a mitzvah of destroying chametz. It's just that the Chacham hold you could be mekayim that mitzvah of tashvisu without burning it. So even according to the Chacham, it should be mutter, because even though it's efshar to be mashvas b'sreifa, the ikra shvasa is the mitzvah in the chiyuv. It's absolutely a mitzvah. So it turned out that when you are mashvas the chametz, you are mekayim your mitzvah. So mele the efshar should automatically be mutter. So svasemus and psachim is mitaretz that according to the Chacham, you can't be mata the efshar chametz based on nas mitzvaso, because according to the Chacham, there is no chiyuv hashvasa based on the Isra Hanah Shabo. The Chiv HaShvas is not from the Isra Hanah, it's based on the Isra Bali Rab Bali Matzei. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, that the HaShvas is Dafka B'Sreifa, you could say that maybe the mitzvah Sreifa is based on the Isra Hanah. So when the mitzvah is based on the Isra Hanah, and then you do that mitzvah, so the Isra Hanah will go away. But when the mitzvah is not based on an isra na, it's based on some other isra, like the isra bali rab bali matzei, the isra of oni chametz. So doing that destruction is not going to get rid of it. Reb Chaim has a little different. He says if hashpasas b'chol davar, it's different than the mitzvah shreifa, because mitzvah tashbisu with other hashpasas is simply that you shouldn't have chametz. But b'shreifa is chal on the, if you hold it's dafka b'shreifa, then it's a din that's chal on the cheftza shel chametz that it requires shreifa. So nasas mitzvaso has to be a din in the cheftza. Nasas mitzvaso is only on things that are a din in the cheftza, not a din in just seeing to it that you don't have any more chametz. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter. Where am I? We got a lot to do in 2 minutes. Okay, so says Gemara Vinikbarin Afarin Aser. Do you want to tell me that anytime something has to be buried, the ashes are going to be Aser? Vatanya, we have a Brisa Dama Nido Basar Meis Shinefruchu Tahorin that Dama Nido and Basar Meis that disintegrate a Tahor. My left Tahor and Mutar. Doesn't it mean that it's Tahor and Mutar? So how can you say that it's Mutar? I thought if it gets destroyed, the Afer is still going to be Aser. Lo Tahor and Vasur. No one said it's Mutar. It's Tahor and it's Aser. Masra Pinchas also of shenis matza dama morasa v'notza shenis matza dama morasa v'notza shalai yatsum yidei mi'ila. If you take an olos off and you squeeze out the blood like you're supposed to, you drain out the blood, the dam, the mora, the notza, all the different parts of it are no longer subject to mi'ila. My love yatsum yidei mi'ila mutarin, doesn't that imply that they become mutar? Lo yatsum yidei mi'ila v'asurin. No, it doesn't imply any such thing. It's yatsum yidei mi'ila and it's going to be asur. V'nisraf in the hektar shafar and mutar. Wait a second. Those things that are supposed to be burnt, those items of Hektish that is supposed to be burnt, the Afer is really going to be mutter. Vatanya kalan sraf mafar mutter chutz meifer hashera ve'efer the hegdish liolam aser, and you have efer hegdish is always going to be aser even though it's supposed to be burnt. So the Gemara just mentions derech agav. Once we're having two exceptions, why don't we just mention them together? Why don't we just say efer hashera ve'efer the hegdish? Why is it efer hashera kama ve'efer the hegdish liolam aser? So mi aruf hu delok aruf lu vatanya lu mishum da hashera yesh lebetel above chavim hegdish ein lebetel olamis, because hashera could be undone. If you have a guy that comes and is mevatel the shem avodah zara from the ashera, that would get rid of the shem ashera. But a hegdish, there is no bittel of hegdish. But katani miha. But the bottom line is, what we're interested in asking from is, it says efer hegdish liolam aser, that the ashes of hegdish are going to be aser. But isn't it amongst the list of nisrafim? And we just said that anything that's nisraf, the efer is going to be mutter. Samarim barchamik going to nafla dleika batzei hegdish me'ela. Now the case was, no one burnt it. It a fire broke out and burnt it. So kivan de lo havi inish to limol de leifik afar lechulin. It's only going to go lechulin when there's someone who was moel in it, or someone who did actually burn it. But over here, there was no one that actually did anything. So mele, it's not going to become mutter. Rav Shmaya amar kitanya hamasnisa b'chumas adesh and tanya. Now, when it says that the efer hegdish is still going to be aser, that's talking about the chumas adesh and to the olam aser. The chumas adesh and the halacha happens to be, it's an exception. Chumas Hadeshen always remains Aser. Titania, we learned about the Chumas Hadeshen, v'samo benachas, v'samo kula, v'samo shlo yifazer. It says sima by Chumas Hadeshen, that you should place it. That means you put it down gently, you put it all down, and you put it in a way that it shouldn't be scattered about. I'll close with the Vart. The Tartamim in the Sefer Tosefes Brach on Chumash says, by Birchas Kohanim we say v'yasem l'cha shalom. Why not v'nasan l'cha shalom? Why v'yasem l'cha shalom? So he says sometimes people get along with each other, they're shalom, because people are far away from each other, as long as you're not in my way. Sometimes people get along with each other because they have a common enemy. Someone's attacking them, so they all come together. But the brach of Yasem Lecha Shalom is Vesamo, means the Lashon Sima Benachas, when there's no common enemy, no one's attacking us, no one's hurting us, and Shalom Yefazer, when we're not scattered about, when we're in one tight group, that even then there should always be Shalom. So there should always be Zoche to a Sima of Shalom. So Hadron Lachish B'Kachim Mizbeach, Slikol HaMesach Tzmura, Mazel Tov, everybody. Aye, aye, aye.